What's up, everyone? Episode number 19 of the All Drive No Drop podcast. I'm joined by David from Tickle My Pickleball. David, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I think I'm on the same level as you last week. Vanders just lost.
Oh.
But as I was doing Amazon returns, I heard people cheering, so I think the Bills are winning. So I'll take that as a win.
Did the Eagles get to 60? Last time I looked, they were at 55. I don't know if they got that 60 burger or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I stopped
or
that.
Why torture yourself?
I was already watching. I was just looking around at the party. I was like, oh, guess they're losing. And then didn't see anyone post anything. I was like, I just assumed they lost.
I was very conflicted. Like, do I want the Commanders to win? Do I want the Eagles to win? Like, I really was just kind of decided I didn't care. I was like, it really doesn't matter. 3 o'clock came around and the Lions should have been playing and they weren't there. I actually drove to downtown Detroit today to do some stuff with my family, and I saw like all the Detroit signs are like, we're ready for the playoffs, like we want more. And I'm like, oh, I was like, this is just depressing, like looking at all this stuff. Why didn't you take it down already?
Yeah.
Even the guy, so we went to lunch and the guy at the bartender there, shout out to Detroit Shipping Company. If anyone's in Detroit looking for a cool place to go, it's like it's all shipping containers, made out of shipping containers.
I've actually been there.
You've been to Detroit Shipping Company?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you've been. All right. Well, there you go. You already know what I'm talking about. They got really good restaurants in there. It's almost like a premium food court. You got really good restaurants and you got a bar and then you got two stories. It's super good. But the bartender's like, yeah, my manager was asking me about the game day specials and he's like, the Lions aren't even in it. What are you talking about? He was depressed. It was, great place out there if you're in Detroit. Detroit Shipping Company has just great food. I think I had like dumplings and samosas from a Nepalese restaurant. And then we had some sticky rice and beef from a Thai restaurant. And then some lamb and rice platter from a Mediterranean restaurant. So you can get it all there. It's great.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you had?
Isn't there like a farmer's or like some stores around there or something?
Yeah, they have stores. They have stores up top and they have coffee up there. So I didn't go up there. It's been a while. It's actually been like 6 years since I've been there. Just haven't been there in a bit. But
yeah, I saw they had shopping and the coffee. So I did actually eat there.
You didn't eat? Okay. Yeah, it's cool though. They had a Detroit podcasting company up top too. I was interested in that. I was like, oh, what? Can I jump in on the mic? Where are we going? So I'll have to look them up later. I forgot about that. I'll have to see what's going on there. But yeah, cool stuff. Lions, you know, Commanders, we're done. Probably watch a boring Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl if the Bills don't pull it off. Yeah. But I don't know. Hopefully the Bills make it and the game's exciting. But no. Mm. If the Chiefs are in it, I feel like it's never exciting. It's just, no one wants to see, you know, them panning to Taylor Swift a million times in the audience. We can't even watch the game anymore. But
we want to see Haley Steinfeld this year.
who's dating her?
Josh Allen.
Oh, geez. Of course. That all celebrity girlfriends and wives out there. But good for them. Good for them. So what else besides all that good stuff going on? The Yola paddles, the new their Gen 4 paddles, they're calling them, are coming out in March. Hopefully, we're going to be taking a look at those pretty soon. I know, obviously, there's a lot of Yola stands out there, so we'll get you what you need to know about those. And then, obviously, super busy paddle season this next week. I already have the Honolulu J2K Plus and TI Plus out live now, or for pre-order. I don't know exactly if they have an order date up, but I decided to drop the review today because I didn't even know that they're going live. And I'm like, all right, well, let's get it out there.
Are they approved?
It says that they're approved on the site. But I didn't get an answer from JM, the owner. So not 100% sure on that, but I was like, I figured he would put it up that it's approved on the site if it wasn't. But I guess I could have went and checked. But sometimes that site's not updated right away, so.
Gotcha.
I don't know. You coming out with a review on those, or is it lost in the shuffle with all the stuff going on?
I want to, but it's just, like, I haven't broken them in yet. Like, I just haven't hit them enough, so I can't do a review right now. I need more time, but then other stuff keeps coming out. So
it's really hard right now. Like, so I don't even know how many paddles have been delivered to my door in the last, you know, month. It's hard to pick and choose these days, especially with all the stuff releasing around the same time. It makes it very difficult. I don't know. Maybe they can, like, you know, think about the reviewers' lives next year when they're like, hey, late January, early February, like, can they help?
Yeah, during our tax season.
Yeah, think about us then. So yeah, busy times. Was it True Foams on the 30th of January? 31st is Ripples. 7th is the 11.624 Powers, and then supposedly the J2K Plus and J2TI are available for pre-order. I imagine, like, he usually does the pre-orders like a month out ahead of time, I think, just if I'm going based on what he's done previously. So yeah. Oh, and then the Franklin C45 is February 5th. So ton of stuff. If you want a new paddle,
that's like a quick pre-order, right? Like,
yeah, it's a limited launch. Who knows how many are dropping then? I'm not really sure. And then later that month, they should all be dropping. I don't know. And I think that's, well, and then you got the Vatic Blooms, the new wide body from Vatic. Those are already out. We're going to talk about some of those today. Besides that, I think that's all the launches that are coming up, but we're going to talk about pretty much all those launches, our thoughts on the paddles and some other good topics. But, first we want to get to the Rhombus Ripple, which I think it's hard. I put up a poll about what is, like, your most anticipated paddle, and it was like I think the Ripple and 11.624 Power paddles tied. So,
interesting.
We'll see. And then, like, it wasn't a runaway too. I put up like four. I think this was like 30%. The 11.624s were 30%, and I put up the Franklin C45. And man, now I'm struggling. I don't remember what I put up there. The other one, but
was these were like the.
No, I don't think so. Did I? I don't remember now, but these were like the two winners of the, Carbon True
sense.
Foams. True Foams. They were like, they were up there too. So it was like Ripple, True Foam, and the 11.624s. Yeah. And then the Franklin, I think, is still like so new, not as many people even know about it. So it's kind of hard for that one to compete.
I would have expected Ripple and the True Foams to be at the top. I didn't think the Hours would be up there.
Well, I think the numbers might be skewed, because I would say, like, the people following and subscribe to YouTube reviewers probably skew a little bit more towards the niche brand. So, you know, like, if we're talking like the general public, they probably wouldn't be, you know, picking. So it's definitely skewed, I think, you know, towards the smaller brands on there. So
I'd say general public would have been True Foam at the top, and then
sure, because it's just the most known. So it's definitely not a good accurate sampling if we're doing. I need to go like local to the courts, like, hey, here's the four. What they'd probably be like, what are two of those? They're like, what is that? I think Rhombus is kind of like mainstream enough for most people now, but even sometimes they don't know what Rhombus is, so I don't know. But anyway, how have you liked this Ripple?
It honestly just feels like the Beta. Like, in terms of firepower, I would say my Beta actually hits harder because that one's kind of crunchy. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is my fourth Ripple, I want to say. So I had, like the Alpha, Beta, pre-production, and then production. And then I also have that 16mm one. And I was just hitting with this one, and, you know, everyone's reaction was this just feels like the Beta, and or you like your pre-production one too. Like, they're all just so similar, but the one change is the sound, because I was hitting them all side by side. Mm-hmm. Like, the sound isn't as like hollow feeling, and it's a bit like heavier, but other than that, like, it's still poppy, it's still super powerful. It's I don't know how this passed.
I guess I'll go into my thoughts on that in a second. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think it's going to be the most powerful legal paddle. I think this is going if easy replacement for the Gearbox owners, the Yola Mod owners. Like, if they don't go to like the Perseus 3S, then I think the Ripple is what they're looking for. And also, since this doesn't have the polypropylene core, like, you know, just foam and the carbon fiber grid, I wonder if it's going to be more durable. I could see it being more durable. I played a lot on like the previous production model and I never had any issues with it. It didn't heat up. It didn't seem like it was breaking down. So I'm quite interested and curious to see how this performs long term. And I've been messing around with a ton of weight setups, but what I have liked, I was starting to mess around weight in the handle, and I've got like the flick weight here. I've really liked the weight in the handle at the bottom of the handle on this.
Interesting. Okay.
Did you put any weight on it? I mean, I think it can be played stock, but I prefer a little extra. I was like, on like really fast drives on the edge, I was like, I could use a little bit more weight.
Yeah, I think it could definitely use weight, but I've been hitting too many other paddles, so I haven't experimented too much with this one. So
gotcha.
I only hit this stop.
Gotcha. Fair enough, yeah. It's definitely, yeah, like the main difference between this and the beta, like it's just not as lightweight. And yeah. I would say that like the beta definitely needed, like that one, you could almost wrap the entire head in like 0.5 gram per inch tungsten and it would be,
oh yeah, that was fine. So light.
And that's kind of crazy, like to have an elongated, I mean, like, and people probably would have loved it, but I think it did, like, you go too light and you skip on some areas, then it kind of like leads to durability issues. So I think this is perfect. This is like an average swing. I don't know what mine was it 117? So like just kind of like,
yeah,
an
was
average
116.
So. Yeah. So I think that's fine. Honestly, like if you're an elongated player, like you should be kind of expecting to have your paddle to be around there. If you start getting lower, I would say it's going to start suffering from the sweet spot on the top.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, some people do have really low swing weight elongateds, but it's they're really not like that great stock paddles.
Yeah.
They're a little, it's a little whatever. But yeah, that's coming out the 31st. I don't know. Do you think it's like, I don't know. He hasn't really said like if it's going to be like a limited run or how many units he has.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many news on it. But yeah, I probably won't have a review on it. I think I'm just going to do a first impression on the 31st if I can. But yes, I'm not going to have enough time to like hit this, especially with all the other releases and prepping for the other reviews. So it'll probably just be like a quick first impression and maybe just some updated thoughts throughout like the upcoming months.
Yeah, I hear you. Got to pick with all this stuff coming out. I mean,
yeah.
So that I guess I'll move into my like what the pickle situation, and it's kind of has to deal. Now I got to rethink what I said last week. I don't want to redouble my what the pickle from last week. But actually, I've got it. I know I did talk about this last week. And then, actually, David, go with your hot take first. Let me compose myself.
Okay.
I don't even know what I'm doing right now. Yeah. What was your hot take this week?
All right. I will say this one's like not that spicy, and I think mainly because there wasn't really a good way for us to like transition to this. But I did think this was one that I kind of wanted to talk about a bit and wanted to get this off the list that I have, but. Hot take for this week is I do think the UPA is going in the right direction by raising the barrier to entry for newer companies to get into like that pickleball tech space. I wouldn't say that they're doing it the right way with the way they're doing their costs and how they're not being transparent about where that money goes. But I do think that there are just like way too many pickleball companies. And the reason I say this isn't too much of a spicy one is I think some of you might also agree that there's just like too many small companies out there. And like many brands are just going to say the same things. Many are catalog brands. And if we look at like the percentage of like these small random companies that have actually contributed to the growth of like the pickleball tech, you know, in paddles, it's such a small percentage compared to like how many are getting like approved all the time. But yeah, like I also don't have my thoughts like too composed on this, but like there's like the issues I see are like when you show up to like a tournament, the refs, basically, they just check the surface. Like, they don't always look at, is this paddle actually approved? And I remember when I played my first tournaments, I was using the Vatic Pro V7. That's, like, right when it first came out. It was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And everyone was just asking what that paddle was. And at that time, I was thinking, like, this paddle could potentially not even be on the approved list, and no one would even know. Like, they just let me play with it. They just check the surface. And,
yeah.
You know, I think it gets tough for like these refs, and then it's also just like tough on the pro scene with like all these people bringing in all these companies bringing in all these new paddles, and there's like, no good way to really regulate it. Because like if you look at like the top sports for like tennis or like golf, like I feel like that equipment's more heavily regulated and there's only like certain brands. But with pickleball, I think people aren't taking it seriously because people are just running around with all these random brand names. And you see you go to Rec Play and people are like, is that even a legal paddle? Like, can you even be using that? But yeah, I do think that there needs to be some way to like stop so many companies from just like flooding the market with a lot of these catalog brands. But you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so when all that stuff came out originally, I was actually like, oh no, I think that like minimum barrier to entry, let the market decide, and we'll be there. But I've changed my thoughts. I think that a big problem with having so many, and I would love that like anyone could do it, but there's just no way you could possibly keep up with regulating all these companies. So say like they even pass, like. Now have USAP has so many brands that have passed. It's just like, okay, yeah, they sent these paddles in, but they could be making a completely different paddle, and it's too hard for USAP to keep up with, thousands of companies. It just, it just doesn't work out in the long run as, and we've seen kind of like the consequences of the, of doing that. So I agree, like the minimum or the minimum barrier to entry does need to be raised. And the hard part is like how high, like what's the price limit that you really want to set? Because we've had some great innovation from smaller brands, and that's tech that's been adopted by the big brands, and you wouldn't get that if those brands weren't in here. So where that limit, where that limit is, it's we're not even going to decide that, but it's just, it's very hard. Like, no, it's always gonna, no one's ever gonna be 100% happy with what it's going to be, but I think you have to have some type of limit because you can't. It's not just like getting that initial paddle approved. It's like continuously making sure that they're building the same paddle that they got tested and approved. And that's where, keeping the, like, and that's why I understand like UPA, they want to keep it tight because oh, they got 18 or 20 companies. Okay, they can check on those. If they had hundreds, you can't do that. You can't monitor 100, hundreds of companies with, how many paddles does each company have? So for the pro game, I definitely understand keeping it tight. It just makes sense.
Yeah, what's funny is like most of the small companies that did bring in Heat Tech actually all started off as like catalog companies. If you think like 11624, Rhombus, Honolulu, Spartus, their first paddles were all carbon, like straight up catalog paddles, but then they grew from there. So it
So
is tough to say.
I guess you won't see any of those companies in the future, probably, you would say. Like, I mean, it just, how are you going to like, and they broke through the market at a time where there wasn't as much competition, but now it's like, how could you even break through with a catalog paddle? Like, I just, you couldn't do that. And we get pitched all the time on different paddles, and they're like, no, our paddle's the best, it's the cheapest price. I'm like, look, if your paddle was actually the best at the cheapest price and it was $30, then sure. But like now at $100, there's a ton of good options. Like that's not a competitive price anymore. Like you got to come in at like 50, and then it's like, yeah, there's not enough meat on the bone for you to come in at that price and try to make money, right? So it's, yeah, it's a hard one. I don't know. I we'll see how it plays out. Because obviously USAP raised their barrier and UPAA raised the barrier. I think it's really shady though when you set rules and then you're like, oh, by the way, there's an additional fee if you want your paddle to be visible to everyone. That's a little shady, UPA. Come on, that's shady stuff. But what can you do? What can you do? And then. That transitions. Any more thoughts on that? I actually thought about what I was gonna say for What the Pickle, so we're good there.
No, yeah, this one isn't like a too much of a spicy one. It wasn't nothing too crazy this week, but yeah, let's transition to what the pickle is.
It could be spicy depending on who you ask. But yeah, What the Pickle, it kind of actually leads into that is now that it's tougher to get regulated. And it costs more money per paddle. It's not just like, hey, this company already has their paddles approved. And costs money per paddle that you're getting, you know, different types. And we've seen a rise in people doing more experimental things like Body Helix with the Flick program. Honolulu said they would just produce their paddles anyway if they didn't get USAP approved. And then we have seen, you know, other brands do it. I guess my thing is, I got hit like 3 times last week playing in the eyes. Luckily, I wear glasses. So, you know, like, I know people, you don't wear glasses, right? Or do you?
I did last week when I was testing, and there were 4 ripples on the court. So I had
You got to. So I always wear glasses because I've been hit in the glasses now like 8 times. So who knows? I could be double blind if I didn't wear glasses. And then I got hit in the throat, and I was like, that was the first time I got hit in the throat, and it actually, like, right in the Adam's apple, and it hurt. And I was like, okay, so you have these unregulated paddles, which at first I was like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. But now I'm like, yeah, I don't really want unregulated paddles because, like, who knows what the limit of the power is going to be on these unregulated paddles. And who knows what these people are going to do with the paddles in their hands, you know? Like, I just don't want missiles fired at me from illegal paddles. So I'm actually kind of now starting to think, like, having unregulated programs or unregulated paddles is a bad idea. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like especially for rec play, if you're showing up at open play and there's, like, older people there, and then some irresponsible, like, teens are carrying on some unregulated paddles, that could definitely be dangerous. So,
yeah,
I can definitely see that. Like, I think it definitely doesn't help when, I think it's have that on me, but I have, yeah, right here, like, this paddle is not approved, but there is that sticker on there. Like, these Chinese factories do not care. They're just still going to print that on there for you, as long as you pay them. And people will see that on the rec courts. No one's going to check, and they're just going to think, you can use that paddle. But yeah, if not having that regulated, I think the main thing isn't, like, especially at, like, those lower levels, like, even if you give people illegal grit or some, like, new surface, like, it's not going to drastically change their play. But the moment these unregulated paddles get too hot, that's when it becomes dangerous. And then that, especially with, like, how, like, big the age gap is between players, that's the issue there.
Yeah. And I mean, what's the stop, you know, how many people there's, like, 95% of the people aren't playing tournaments. So what's to stop them from, like, getting these cheaper alternatives that have even more power? Because they're like, oh, I have to keep up. I need the most power I can get. But it's like, oh, well, one overhead that I shank into your face, like, and it's going faster than the ripple now. I mean, I don't know. Like, I like that you can, like, innovate with the unapproved program, but I'm a little worried if you make, like, super, super, super powerful paddles, because, like, you could do some damage. That's my thoughts. Tell me how wrong I am. Tell me how right I am. I mean, you go get hit in the face and then tell me how you feel. Maybe you'll feel different after that. I don't know. Maybe I just need to
tell you, you need to dodge better. That's all.
Get better. I remember, like, this was coming up in on the King of the Court podcast. Tyler Leung just says you just need to dodge better. He said if you wear glasses, you're not likely to dodge because you feel protected. And I'm like, all right, bro, I can't wait till someone gets him, and then, you know, it just leaves a shiner. I'm like, should have dodged it, bro. Anyway, that's it. Other thoughts. I heard a good segment that kind of resonated with me. I believe his name is Max Chung. He had that video about quitting YouTube. He spent $10,000, but I guess he's back, so he's back in action. And he talked about how you've got the rec scene, right? And then you've got super competitive stuff with the tournaments, but there's not much in between. So there, you know, like, Duper kind of all exist a lot on either, like, intro Duper elite nights that a lot of facilities will put. So, like, probably like 3-0 to 3-5 games, I would say. And then that's just kind of like you come and you don't have a partner. At least that's how it is around here. Do you have those nights where you're at? Like, they just, like, intro Duper nights? at all?
I think some of the Lifetimes have it.
Okay.
I will say, like, most of the facilities I've seen don't really have too many Duper events, to my knowledge.
Okay. So some of them have those, and then that's to kind of get your Duper started. And some facilities will run their programming by Duper, so you need a certain Duper to do certain events. But the problem is, there's not, like, a ton of events besides tournaments that let you get Duper. I don't imagine most leagues are even doing Duper. I know some do, but none around here do. So he was proposing something like a weekly, like, type of round robin or tournament that's kind of in between, like, a bigger tournament, but it wasn't necessarily wreck. So it's kind of like a step up, and he brought in an example that of Super Smash Brothers weekly, like, which I used to do in college. Like, you would just go there, and it's kind of just like, you know, a single elimination or a round robin tournament where you play everyone, and it just gets, like, a little bit more competitive than just meeting up and playing for fun like wreck. And this one would be, like, say, 4-5 to 5-0 round robin, and you bring your partner and you play for Duper, and it's not for money, it's just for Duper. So you're putting something on the line, you're getting into competitive scenarios, but you don't have to pay $50 to $100 to do it. You're just kind of, like, depending on what your facility is, maybe it's even free. Like, you're just going there, using your court time and playing. So what do you think about that? Like, would that be something that interests you? I know you do a league, so I guess you're interested a little bit in competitiveness, but would you like something that was like a weekly or a monthly round robin that you could go to that wasn't something you had to pay $100 for that could get, like, super?
I guess, yeah. So, like, I guess my question was, I mean, I guess you just answered at the end, but so the main reason or the main point is for, like, there to be, like, more duper sanctioned matches.
Yeah, I think that's one reason, is to get more Duper sanctioned matches. And I think just having the Duper makes it like something's on the line. So instead of money, it's a rating. Like, and that just makes it more competitive focused. Like, you're trying to win if you care about the Duper score, because since some of these facilities use Duper for their programming, and you can only play if you have a certain Duper, I think it just makes it like, hey, we're not putting money on the line, but we're going to put our Duper on the line. So, you know, like, people that come from, like, those video game backgrounds that have the, you know, they're used to, like, a rating system might get more excited. And it just makes it, you know, something in between rec and tournament play. So it just offers another option that's kind of missing in a lot of markets.
Yeah, I can only see that as a good option for facilities, especially because, like, tournaments these days are so expensive. I know, like, one of the local ones that's being run here, it's, like, basically $100 to enter for, like, one division. And just having something that's, like, a weekly thing would be really good, especially, like, if people care a lot about Duper. I'm not one of those. And it was funny as you mentioned how, like, some people get, you can only get into certain events with a certain Duper.
Yeah.
Because of that, I have not been able to enter some events, and I have to be like, hey, actually, this is my channel, can I still come? And then they'll be like, no.
Does it work?
What's the time? No. They're just like, nah, you have to be at least 4-0 or whatever.
Wow. You know, yeah. So. I think, you know, like, I really don't care about the Duper either. Like, you know, if my Duper was this or this or this, like, whatever. But I think it's good if you get more games, because if all your sample size, like, I play like 4 tournaments a year. That's not really a big sample size, right? Like, 4 tournaments for the whole year determines my Duper. But, like, if you can get games every month that adds to your Duper, and this just helps everybody, like, if they are going to run those things, like, it just helps get more accurate ratings, and then also gives people an outlet for competitive stuff. And I think it helps you actually, like, hyper segment too. Like, you know, some of these tournaments are like 4-5 plus in open, and it's like, I can't even play those anymore, because now, you know, in these 4.5 plus in open, we're getting like 5-7 teams that are winning the tournament. And I'm like, well, I'm not that good. So, like, what's the point of me even playing? Like, sure, I could go just to get my ass kicked, like, but it's not going to, like, make me better. Like, there's a certain level. It's like, you play someone too good, you're not going to learn anything. You're just going to learn you suck. Like, you know, it's just going to be over too fast. But you know, so I think it could, it's just a good area. And I actually did, you know, it's funny. I talked to you about this earlier in the week, and then I saw a post from a facility in my area. They're like an hour away, so it's not really like something I would be going to, but they're going to do doing weekly like mini round robins. So, or did I say weekly? I think they're doing monthly round robins for different skill levels. So like every week they'll be running one. So they, you know, they're going to do a 3-0 to 3-5, 3-5 to 4-0, 4-0 to 4-5, 4-5 to 5-0. And I don't know if they'll do more, but honestly, you probably don't need to do 5-0 and up, because those people, you know, are the ones chasing these tournaments that are the money yeah. ball stuff. But I think that's a good idea to that. And they're, you know, I guess that maybe they overheard our conversation and they thought it was a good idea. Or they watch Max Chung's video. But I think it just adds another option for these facilities to add programming. I know they want to make all the money that they can, but honestly, you add certain things like this to your programming, and I think you just attract more people anyway.
Yeah.
So you necessarily need to charge more for it. You charge whatever, you know, like maybe not your open play or whatever you're doing, but like just offer as an option, and it draws people to your facility, and maybe they're like, hey, you offer this awesome programming. This is the facility I'm going to choose. And like in my area, there's a ton of facilities, you know, being built right now. You're going to have to do something that differentiates yourself from these other facilities, because it's no longer like, oh, there's only one option. Now there's going to be like 3-4 options for someone. So if you do cool stuff like this, you know, gets me in the door. At least I think it would apply to other people too. Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just my thoughts.
One thing is, I think if it's like by the facility, they need to make it so you can attract people from other facilities, because otherwise you're just going to be playing the same people like every week. And then like your dupers, I feel like it won't really change that much if you're just like winning and losing against the same exact people from the facility. So you'd have to be like, no, like you don't have to be a member to come to this event. So you like leave it open for people to join. As long as they can do that and like attract like a big audience, that would make the duper situation a lot better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the higher level you go, the higher level you go, the less people there are, and then the more willing they are to travel. I think like 3035, you probably have enough just at that facility where it's like there's enough different people there to get enough pool. But yeah, the higher you go, like I think you did like a 4-5 to 5-0 thing, you get people from different places coming. And because it's not something it's really offered, like there's either like a 4-0 to 4-5 bracket, and then it's usually like 4-5 plus an open. Like the 4-5 to 5-0 kind of like doesn't exist in a lot of brackets. So I know I'm specifically speaking for myself for something I want. So, but I think it works for like all the areas, like giving another option for a weeknight, like a little bit more competitive setting, instead of spending, you know, like you said, the tournaments are getting crazy, like $100 here, $125. And it's just like, yeah, is it really that valuable to spend that much on a tournament? It's not for me. It's just, you know, very pricey, and sometimes you don't get the best experience out of it. But I'd much rather just play a round robin that's like, you know, you pick your partner, you go get to play some good games, get the duper on the line just for like the added competitiveness. But yeah, feel free to take that idea. Any facilities out there? And then you can send me a thank you card if you want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, free registration.
Send me a free invitation. I'll come join. Hopefully you're in Michigan though. But yeah, I think that's all of the non-paddle stuff. Any comments on that or any other topics that you just want to get off your chest?
No, I think we're good to get into these paddles.
All right, let's get into it. Carbon True Foams. Everyone else seems to be talking about it. They said not to talk about it. We'll talk about it briefly. Carbon True Foams, all foam core. I did see, I think it was maybe Pickleball Studio had like the actual like core of it. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
It's like all foam, but there's holes in it. And that will kind of lead to the next paddle we have. There's a lot of all foam paddles coming out, just different styles. I really like the two. Which one's your favorite, David, out of the three?
Wanted to like the two, but I just don't like the shape. Like, I like standard and wide bodies, but I don't like the square, like the J3 shape.
Gotcha.
I like the round curved, and like I like the Pegasus shape a lot. Like the flare, I would prefer over this. I just don't like the balance of this one as much, but if this was like a curve, I think I would like the 2 a lot more. But I've been hitting the 3 more, so I like this one the best.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll just kind of say, like, my favorite thing about it, I really like the feel, and I really like the dwell time and spin. I think for those reasons, a lot of people are going to love it. And then you could find out if I classify it as a power paddle or all court in my review. I don't know why everyone cares so much about the classification of these things, but I will say that a lot of people are calling a lot of paddles all court. And at the end of the day, if every paddle you talk about is all court, I think you got to like adjust your ranges. That's all. Yeah. Cause you would kind of, I think you'd kind of want like it to be like a third control, a third all court, a third power, or you're not classifying it the right way. But maybe I'm doing too many all courts too, but the topic, those like classifications have kind of lost meaning to me when I hear people say it. And obviously I say it too. I know you say it, but I'm just like, maybe I got to like think about the ranges. Like, oh, this is the definition of like intro to power. This is I mean, obviously it's a sliding scale, so it's impossible. But what do you love about the True Pumps? Or what do you
they just like, kind of grew on me. I will say like for me, first impression, I think you had a similar one, was it was okay, especially if you hit it, you're not gonna think like, this is amazing, this is the best paddle ever. I think very few people that have tried mine have had that experience, but it's like as you keep hitting with it, you appreciate it more. I feel like there might be some people that will like immediately love it. I will say I think tennis players will probably like the True Foams a lot, but I personally think the majority of people will hit the paddle and just think what's so special about it. But yeah, I think it does take some time to like it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you do. This one is like, it's hard to explain exactly like why it takes more time than normal for, I mean, I guess it's because it's a different core, right? Like just your processing of the different, completely different core. If you, I mean, I haven't hit with an all foam core before. Yeah, it's, we'll see what the reaction is. I've had the same reaction. Some people like put it back down and are like, yeah, whatever. And then other people are like, oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll see what the general public's reaction is to it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then talking about foam paddles, Selkirk has a line coming out, the 008, the Project 008. I heard someone saying that these might not be 333 because they're coming out like all February. Like there's going to be a 10 millimeter, 13 millimeter and a 16 millimeter. I don't know if that's true. So no one quote me on that, but that'd be cool if they release this as like, oh, you know, we're just releasing our paddle. Cause I don't think they've really released anything not project oriented really lately. Have they? Doesn't.
Vanguard Pro Air. I think, okay. But I don't know how recent that was.
Okay, yeah, so that's, yeah, I think they might be better off just releasing these as, like, regular paddles and getting them out there. So this is a 10 millimeter. This is all foam core. I think this one is different than the True Foam because this is all, like, solid and the True Foam has holes.
Yeah, so the X-ray.
What those holes do, I don't know. But this one's all foam. I think 10 millimeters. Are you okay?
Oh, no, I was just messing around with those.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to fall. I hope to hit, like, the 10 and 16 because I think the 10 doesn't give you, like, the full benefit of the all foam. I will say that, like, for a 10 millimeter, like, this is super lightweight. This is in their Invicta shape, and I think they're going to make it in all their shapes. They usually make everything in all their shapes.
Yeah.
Super low swing weight, I'd imagine. I didn't test it out yet, but this feels really light. And feels like soft for a 10 millimeter. Don't have a ton of 10 millimeter paddles to compare it to, obviously. But I was surprised that I was like, oh, 10 millimeter usually feels like a board. So if you're used to like that feeling, or even, you know, this one's not edgeless either. So that's good. I think a 10 millimeter edgeless would be insane. Well, I mean, I think there are some 10 millimeter edgeless, right? But insane. And so more to come on this. This one, you know, it's hard. I think the foam paddles you need a little bit more time with. So only hit this once so far. More to come. And
yeah, I
hopefully
think foam paddles is just like hard to describe the feeling.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah. And then next, the Franklin C45. I've spent some time with this. How much time have you been spending with the C45?
I hit it once unweighted, and I think the group I was hitting with just felt like, oh, it's kind of weird. Like when you on certain shots, it feels different, and then like it feels good in certain shots, it doesn't. And I was just thought, I think you guys just aren't hitting the sweet spot. That's basically what you're describing to me.
yeah.
And then I finally added weight, and I've been liking it more. I think it can take some more weight. I basically went like here, 0.1 grams here, and then have some protective tape over it. But with weight, this thing is nice. Like I personally would take this over a Ripple or a Mod, like in terms of the feel, I think it's really nice for a 14 millimeter, but it's, I would classify it maybe like the bottom of power, I would say, like without all the weight on it, but with some weight, obviously that goes up, but I think the foam feel it has is pretty pleasant. Like I like the feel of this paddle. And it's funny because this is like the one paddle I was not excited for. I didn't even know this was releasing until like you told me like, hey, check your doorstep. And I was like, oh, there is one there. I actually like this one. I'm excited to spend more time with it.
Interesting. Without weight, I wasn't a huge fan of the paddle. Yeah. Without weight, it needs weight. I put, this is 0.5 gram per inch all the way from the handle up here. And then I did try, I had some weight up here, and then I think it's an 18.
You need a flick weight.
Yeah, it's a flick weight. This is 9 grams. I probably needed more in the handle. I've been liking it when I've been adding a lot of weight on top. I've actually been liking it lately. I didn't want to get into it, but then I was like, well, the flick weight's a lot easier than the slice cap. I was like, I'm not changing out the butt cap or the paddle every time. But with these coins, and then I need to figure out a way where I can like repurpose them and like take it off and put something else, because this is a lot easier to put down there. I need more time, and I think I need to try it more without the Franklin Pro Ball, because I think the Franklin Pro Ball, it's like, it must be like denser or something and like stiffer than the other balls. It bounces higher, and I think I gotta test it more with some other balls, because the ball was throwing me off a little bit, just not used to it. I would say it's like an entry level power paddle, especially once you get the weight on. It's hard to say for me it's a power paddle without the weight, because I think the sweet spot is like, it's probably below average, right? It's a below average sweet spot.
It's below average for sure.
And it kind of lends to like the shape, like this hybrid shape. They could make a better shape. I think this is 7.5 inches, isn't it? I have a tape measure here, but it's super maneuverable. Let's see. Let's check it out. We'll get an official measurement here. Yeah, 7.5. So they could have made this wider, which would have made the sweet spot better, and I think would have made it better even stock at the lightweight, just with a little bit more weight spread out wider. I think the 16 millimeter wide body is going to be like, I could see that being my favorite of the series that they make. But you know, so far, I do like it. I need more time. It's definitely unique. It's a unique feeling.
Yeah, it's a unique
paddle.
Feel.
A very unique feeling paddle. And mine doesn't sound the same as Hayden's. I don't know, you know, if Hayden wants to send me his. But it doesn't sound.
Yeah, we can cut his open.
Yeah.
The tempos, was that, or no, Dynasties, right?
Yeah.
That one was just like, there was too much weight on it. And now this one's like, they just did the complete opposite. Now they're like, oh, we saw all the reviewers say it was too heavy. Now let's just take off all the weight and give no weight around it. Now you add your own.
Yeah. Well, they didn't really even get much coverage on that paddle at the time. Like, people came out later, but like, I think for the first couple of months, not much coverage Fun story. That was actually like my first official review that I did was on the Franklin paddles. So yeah, like maybe it was January of 2024, or might have even been December 2023. That was like my first official review. So go check out that for some good times. Definitely have gotten a lot since then. But yeah, it was a fun one. Any final thoughts on the C45?
No, you know, I like it. Right. I think like out of the big companies, like compared to like Yola's release, I think this is like a really solid one. It kind of surprised me.
Yeah. I think they're coming up, and especially once they get all their shapes out, that'll be awesome. Now, the next one, maybe this could have been your hot take, but the 11624 All Courts. I've only been able to play with the Vapor for the All Court. I would say this is like, and obviously I there is a Vapor Jelly Bean now too, which I haven't played with, but I would say like this lineup is kind of like a little bit of a souped up Jelly Bean. It kind of feels that like softer feeling, not poppy. I would just put it at like average power. These aren't thermoform, but I would just kind of put it at average power to. I'll have to play with the other shapes because this one is like, I forgot what my swing weight was. I want to say it was like 116, which is kind of higher for a hybrid. And I've seen some people say there's like 117, 118. So, and I think this is just kind of like what the shape, you know, as you get wider towards the top and it kind of got more stuff going on up here. And I don't mind the higher swing weight for the hybrid because I like to play my paddles like 120 to 125 anyway. So really don't care. If the paddle already plays well and the swing weight's a little higher, I don't care. You know, that's fine. I think that people can be fooled sometimes by only focusing on the swing weight and twist weight numbers because they can manipulate those numbers, and it doesn't mean the paddle's going to play good.
J2K.
Hey, they put carbon strips in this one too. They, you know, I don't know if they put it in this, but they put it in the power, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they put it in the all court.
Okay. Strike that from the record, but they did put in the power. So I think that if you were looking for maybe like an aggressive all court paddle, this is not it. But it is a very, if you are someone that like doesn't like vibration, you don't like stiffness, and you don't like too poppy, and you want like decent power, then I think this is it. But if you were looking for like an all court paddle that like almost gets you to the power category, I don't think this is it. Don't really have any examples to give to the Alpha. I've never played with the Alpha, so I don't know. I actually might bring in a local 11624 expert who is an ambassador that like pretty much only plays with 11624 paddles. He plays with a lot of other paddles too, but like he's like, those are his mains, and he had a really good description for it. So I might bring him. I don't have to bring him on the podcast. I can read his description, but I might bring him in for like the review, just as like a local expert on the paddles. Because like obviously we don't spend the most time with an individual paddle, but some of these brand ambassadors can help explain the minor differences more. Yeah. But how do you feel about the all courts? Have you played all the shapes or focused on one of the shapes?
All of them.
All of them. Okay.
I personally am not a fan. Main reason is, partly because I like the original All Court series. I like the Harachi Control Plus and the Monarch All Court a lot. And then, so these are just completely different.
Yeah.
But the other gripe I have is that if the Jelly Bean is on one end, the power is here, you expect the All Court to be in the middle. It's way too close to the Jelly Bean. Like, this isn't an All Court paddle. Like, the original Monarch All Court, that's considered All Court these days, but the Pegasus All Court, like this new one, is like more leaning towards the control. It's
okay.
It feels too similar to the Jelly Bean. Like, it has a bit more pop. Like you said, it's just like a juiced up Jelly Bean, but that doesn't make a good All Court paddle. That said, I think it's a fantastic paddle. And I get the design decision. Like, if you're not familiar with 11624, you pick up the Jelly Bean, you pick up the All Court, like, those are very beginner-friendly paddles. And I think a lot of people not familiar with 11624 will pick up the alt court and like it. But I think if you were a fan of like the original series, or if you're someone that like has like a higher expectation of an alt court style paddle for power, like yeah. you're not going to like this one, because I think the power is just too soft on this to be considered a true alt court. Like,
gotcha.
And that's just my issue with it.
Let me see how I phrase this question. Do you think the Vapor of the alt courts is like the highest performing for power compared to like other hybrids, just because it has that higher swing weight in general for like a hybrid? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, compared to other hybrids, like the power is like considered more, like you would consider that more of like an all court power paddle compared to like the Pegasus and the Hirace X, just because it feels like it might be a little sturdier and stockier for that shape.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying, but that there's just so many other like hybrids that come to mind, because when I think all courts, I'm thinking Gen 2s.
Yeah.
So that, I wouldn't put this in the realm of like a double black diamond or anything. Like, okay. I don't think it goes that high.
Okay.
But that's just based off of memory.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. I'll have to try the other shapes and kind of segue, because I was hitting this at the same time as, unless you had any other thoughts.
No, I'm assuming you're going to the Bloom Sagas.
Yep, going to the Bloom. Yep.
Okay. I was just about to transition to that as well.
Yeah, just I figured it's kind of like a similar feeling to the all courts, right? Like the Bloom.
Yeah. I need to change the C-figure falling off.
Which is the new wide body from Vatic. And so they got this in the Saga, and they got the Bloom Prism in 14 and 16. I didn't even take the plastic off this one yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have the wide bodies. I played the Saga. You know, it's interesting. This seemed like it had quite a bit. I mean, obviously, I expected it to have less power than the Saga Flash, but it seemed like it had less power than I would, like a less power than I was thinking it was going to have. Did you play with
That was my same exact thought, because I was like, I was hitting it with the all courts, the Pegasus all court and the Bloom, and I thought, it doesn't hit that much harder than the Pegasus all court.
Yeah.
But I felt like the Flash hit harder than which makes sense because the Bloom is standard shape, but like it didn't have as much power as I thought, but I would consider the Bloom an all court style paddle.
Yeah. Okay. Glad you were feeling the same, because I was hitting, I'm like, yeah. I was like, man, this, I'll bring the Saga Flash out there next time, but I was like, man, the Saga Flash, I was like, it was, you know, like, I wouldn't have a trouble switching from the Olympus to the Saga Flash. Like, it had enough power output. But this was like, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. The power on this isn't as much as I thought it would be. And, but this kind of felt like I was hitting the all chords. You know, it had that soft feeling, not as poppy. The power was just, you know, average, okay.
Yeah, just a little bit higher than the all chords.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is, I think if you're looking for like a really like soft feeling all court wide body, and you don't want it to be too poppy, then this is good. Like the control was really good on this. Like both, that's the thing. I was like, I wasn't even trying to drive with either of these paddles, like the Saga or the all courts. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm practicing my drops, because I just felt like I was really lacking on the drives, and I was just working on my placements and my dinks and stuff. And it is hard when, you know, obviously I'm playing with the Ripple, getting ready for that. Even the True Foams have more power. It's just like, you know, the power drop off is sometimes hard to adjust to, but I know some people like it. So it's good they're making the shape. And the Prism Flat, the Prism Bloom 16 millimeters in the 14s, I don't know about the power level on those, but I imagine it's not going to be. It's going to be soft.
Yeah, these are probably going to be like top control paddles.
You can go too far. If it doesn't have enough power, you can't even get the ball over the net, then we might go too far. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I played well with them, you know. It's just a different feel, different play style. So it just depends what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think I would take the Bloom over the Pegasus Alcord actually, because it just has a bit more power, and I think the feel's better because the Alcords kind of have, because of that fiberglass it has, like, it kind of just shoots off a little bit more, but then you don't get that plow through you get on the Bloom, because you get a bit more dwell time on the Bloom, and you get a bit more like plow through on your drives, and that just felt better versus like the Pegasus, like it kind of shoot off, but then just feels like it doesn't travel as like fast as you think it would.
Gotcha. I can't compare the two shapes together, but I did feel like the Bloom Saga was getting more dwell time than the Vapor Alcord for sure. Yeah. So we'll see more to come on that. And those are out. The Blooms are out. All the Saga and the Prism, and then Alcords do not have a launch date yet, right?
No, I don't. Not sure if they're approved.
Okay.
Scared to go in that Discord. I don't know what's going on in there.
No comment. No comment. Yeah. No comment. The last paddle I had, we talked about it last time, but the Avora from Rhapsody from Avora, 13mm. I'm say this is like the ping pong players. Or the Callan Dawson's paddle. You know, this is if you want a big face, you don't want too big of a handle, it has, you know, above average pop, not a lot of plow through. You know, hard to kind of get leverage with this, with it being so short at the 15.5 inch and the shorter handle. So it's not for me. It's not like my play style. You know, like I really did like the Groovin Movin 13S back in the day. I
hated that pop.
And you would think like, but I feel like this isn't as poppy as that. And that's what I kind of enjoy. Like that one was also like a super low swing weight, super maneuverable, but it had the pop to back it up. This one, it has pop, but it doesn't have like that elite end pop like that 13S did. So this one's interesting. It does. I don't know what. How have you enjoyed it, or what have you thought about it?
Yeah. So I know last week I did say like it reminded me a lot of the Apollo. So like, I ended up bringing both of them out and then like do like sort of a comparison. So I would say like after hearing the Apollo again, like it's not the same type of vibration. I think it's more of you get that flex at the throat, and that just gives you that feeling. It's mainly that flex that you're feeling, but it's not the same as vibrations as the Apollo. But I'd say it's quicker, it's a bit poppier, but it's not as stable as an Apollo, and you just don't have that power. So I think it's like it's a very good Gen 1 wide body paddle. I can see it fitting like a niche market for some players that want like because I think this is more control oriented, but it does have like some decent pop to it. I don't know. I personally would take like a Flare Primex over this, but if you want something softer, like this could be it, especially since it is a Gen 1, so you're not going to have to worry about a lot of the core crushing of the Gen 2 or even some of the Gen 3 wide bodies have. But I think it's a good paddle. It is a bit pricey, but you know, it's really not for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, at least it does offer some unique things. That price point for... It is weird that it's like the price, high price paddles, you expect them to be power paddles, and then it's like, oh, control paddles are more the cheaper paddles, just because I guess like the construction that goes into it is more expensive for power paddles. So yeah, it's a hard one. I don't know how many people you'll be seeing using these. It's interesting. I like that they went for something different. Is a play style that I don't think fits a ton of people is the problem. So I don't know. I don't know what to say besides that. It's an interesting paddle.
Yeah. My curious wife to see calls what it the metallic gel goes though with that tech. You know, see
if more people do it. Yeah. I think, and I'm wondering if you know Players Pickleball.
Yeah.
I wonder if they use like the same type of gel. Because they use gel in their paddles.
Yeah, it hurts like a metallic one, so it's like slightly different in this one.
Okay. So the metal, I guess using a metallic one just makes it like denser probably for weighting purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested. I didn't even know, and I saw Players Pickleball. I know this is off topic now, but I saw Players Pickleball actually released a new paddle after like 3 years of not releasing one. And actually,
oh, really?
I liked those back in the day. I thought they were good. I'll have to bring one out just to see, but it had an interesting feeling, and then they had like a vibration dampener on the throat. So, you know, good for them still around kicking. But yeah, that's all the paddles. Were there any other paddles you wanted to talk about?
No, I think that was mainly it. It was a really busy week hitting paddles.
Oh yeah, busy launches. Busy week. I think you'll see a few. You might see a couple videos from each of us this week with reviews. That it, you know, we had that quiet lull, and now it's popping. So, True Foam reviews coming out Thursday. Yeah. I don't think we can post those until Thursday. Ripple review. I'm not sure when mine's coming out exactly. We'll see. Got to get that done, and then. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. What's on the docket for you this week?
Yeah, just continuing my weekly update. So, because there's just like a lot of paddles that I've hit that I like, you know, I'd want to talk about them, but I just don't think that they're worth like, you know, bringing up here, or if they're just don't need like a full video review. So that's just what I've been keeping myself busy with throughout the week. But beyond that, like same thing, Carbon True Foam, might do a first impression of the Ripple if I have time. And then starting to get ready for Super Quartz and 11624 power reviews. So
nice. Yeah. Yeah, I still am waiting on those power paddles, David, if you're out there. we trying to get, luckily I was able to use Tickle's power for the vapor. So I have some thoughts on it if need be, but besides that, yeah, just busy times here, and I know everyone's looking forward to all these releases. Trying to think what else I had. There's something else, can't remember, but also we used a new podcast recording thing, so let us know if you like it. We might try something else too in the future, but maybe this one's it, so.
Yeah, let us know before the free trial ends, by the way.
Yeah, before the free trial ends. Exactly. Or if you record podcasts and you're like, I know exactly what one you should use, let us know. Always open to the suggestions, and we're looking to, you know, go. Oh, and one teaser for all of you that have made it to the end, and I did get okay to say this, and I can't really say a lot, but you know, thanks Josh for not letting me say much. New Spartus paddles coming. That's all I can actually say. New Spartus paddles coming.
Yeah.
And I already have them, but I didn't hit with them. Anyway, that's it. Any final words, David?
Nope, nothing else from me.
All right, everyone, have a great week. It's getting warmer out there. Go enjoy some sunshine.